From the studios of NPR West, this is Day to Day. I'm Alex Chadwick.
And I'm Madeline Brand. Coming up, DNA exonerates a man after he spends 18 years in prison. Now prosecutors say DNA links him to another crime.
First, Iraq and the battle in Washington, where late this afternoon, U.S. senators will debate whether to support or oppose the war. It's difficult. No one really knows what will happen in Iraq, whatever this country does. Many predict disaster if the U.S. leaves soon. Here's the president in last month's State of the Union address.
A contagion of violence could spill out across the country, and in time, the entire region could be drawn into the conflict.
We're going to listen today to several voices on what might happen if the U.S. were to withdraw from Iraq in the near future. Speculation, yes, but informed speculation. There are experts who question that a U.S. pullout would mean the worst end. We begin with one of the most respected Western observers of Iraq, New York Times Baghdad Bureau Chief John Burns, back in the States these days for a short break from the war.
Friends of mine, Iraqis who live in endangered neighborhoods, which is to say most of the neighborhoods of Baghdad right now, have taken to saying that if you remove American troops, you won't see 3,700 Iraqis dying every month, civilians. That's the United Nations figure, and is probably an underestimate. If you remove the American troops, they say, it won't be 3,700 in a month. It'll be 3,700 in a night in a single neighborhood.
Last week's new intelligence report on Iraq says the same. More sectarian violence, possibly spreading beyond Iraq, as the president warned. But perhaps a U.S. withdrawal would simply result in an Iraqi solution, one that is unknowable now, but inevitable. Anyway, Bruce Riedel is a former CIA officer with extensive experience in the Middle East, a national security advisor to presidents for the last 15 years.
Let me be clear right from the beginning that I think if the United States were to leave, the situation would be very ugly, it would be very messy. But I think it would be mostly a continuation of what we've already got, a very violent and bloody sectarian civil conflict between the majority Shia population and the minority Sunni population. Over time, the majority Shia population is likely to prevail. It won't be pretty to watch. I think you'll see much of what we're already seeing, only more of it: car bombs, suicide bombings, sectarian killings. But over time, the Shia population, which is 60 to 65% of Iraqis, will probably prevail over their Sunni opponents.
You're saying, in effect, there will be a civil war and the Shias are going to win it.
I think there is a civil war, and I think that in the end the Shias will win it because they have the numbers on their side and because they are better organized politically and militarily than the Sunnis, and because they will have the support of one of Iraq's most important neighbors, the Iranians.
Even administration critics worry about Iran. A U.S. withdrawal would enhance the stature of a country hostile to American interests. And there is the danger of the war spreading elsewhere. Here's Defense Secretary Robert Gates earlier this year.
The violence in Iraq, if unchecked, could spread outside its borders and draw other states into a regional conflagration. In addition, one would see an emboldened and strengthened Iran, a safe haven and base of operations for jihadist networks in the heart of the Middle East, a humiliating defeat in the overall campaign against violent extremism worldwide, and an undermining of the credibility of the United States.
Well, says former CIA and national security analyst Bruce Riedel, there are no happy endings coming in Iraq. But he is skeptical that the worst predictions are the most likely, partly because the worst for the U.S. would also be the worst for Iraqis, and they know that.
We're likely to see at the end of the day a government in Baghdad that is Shia-dominated and that is at least sympathetic to Iranian interests. I don't think it'll be controlled by Iran because Iraqi Shias are Arabs and they're Iraqis. They don't want to be told what to do by their Iranian neighbor. But I'm likely to see a government that is fairly sympathetic to Iran on most of these things.
Iraq would become a center for extremists who would be funded by the enormous oil fortune that exists in this country, it would develop an anti-American government. It's not just the Bush administration that's saying that.
Well, again, don't get me wrong. I don't think this is going to be pretty. I think we are going to end up with a government in Iraq which is probably not very sympathetic to the United States. United States actions in Iraq over the last 4 years have not won us a lot of adherence inside Iraq. They are more likely to be sympathetic to Iran. But Iraq is already a training ground for extremists. Al-Qaeda, which had no presence in there 4 years ago before the invasion, has thrived during the American occupation. So the president's actually in some ways describing a situation that already exists.
You know, the Iraqis are extremely able and talented people. These are not, you know, country bumpkins.
Rami Khoury, editor-at-large of the Daily Star newspaper in Beirut. The outcome of the war in Iraq is unknowable among Arabs, too, he says. But an American withdrawal might be the beginning of a better end.
They are very able people. And when they see that their political sovereignty is actually up for grabs in their hands, and the option is between agreeing on a national constitutional share-out with probably very decentralized power and the other option being massive civil war, I think they will choose for the orderly option. They may not have the option to do that, though. I mean, the civil war that started now at a low grade may accelerate so fast that it will completely get out of hand and nobody will be able to control it.
Poor choices. Poor choices. Finally, Ambassador Edward Jerejian, he was a senior policy advisor to the Iraq Study Group, the Baker Commission that suggested many changes for the president's Iraq policy. In Washington, the ambassador is hearing these voices now that say a withdrawal is not just an option, it's the best choice among the many bad ones we have.
It's a hopeful hypothesis that if the United States left in the near future, that perhaps the worst-case scenarios would not evolve. Hopefully, that would be the case. But I don't think that is a case upon which you can construct a policy. I think the policy that has to be put in place now is to do everything possible to enhance the political will and the capabilities of the Iraqi government, a democratically elected government, to be able to govern, sustain, and defend the country. If within the next year, year and a half, this does not materialize, then those analysts who are saying that if the United States leaves, we may not have a worst-case scenario, that may become the reality. But I don't think that's a policy that you can adopt.
You're saying we have to try to achieve the very best outcome we can hope for, rather than settling for the least bad alternative that may develop.
Exactly.
Ambassador Edward Jerejian, a senior policy advisor to the Iraq Study Group. He now directs the Baker Institute for Public Policy at Rice University. We also heard from Rami Khoury, editor-at-large of Beirut's Daily Star newspaper, Bruce Rydell, a former CIA officer who's now a senior fellow at the Saban Center at the Brookings Institution, and John Burns, Baghdad Bureau Chief of the New York Times.